the Lord. That's exactly what the children of Israel did here. Amen. And that's how they won the victory. And in your life, that's how you're going to win the victory as well. And so I want to talk to you about Ebenezer today. Ebenezer, I said something to my wife and the Whites. They were talking to me yesterday, and I said, I think Phyllis was wanting a hint on the message. And I said, well, look up Ebenezer. And she and my wife both thought I was preaching about Ebenezer Scrooge. That is not what the message is about. Excuse me, but the passage here talks about then Samuel, verse 12, Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So the title is Ebenezer, or it could be another title, when you're between a rock and a hard place. Amen. You ever been there? Anybody? Yeah, I've been there many, many times. Father, thank you so much for the Word of God and the truth that you give us with it. Thank you that we have answers to our questions. We have solutions to our problems. Thank you that it's found in the Word of God. And I pray that we'll be able to look today at some scripture that'll help us, help those that are between that rock and hard place today. And Lord, as a country, I believe that's where we are. And help us to see that you've helped in the past, you'll help again in every situation. So please, work in our hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ebenezer, of course, is a place. Go back to chapter 4 and verse 1. Chapter 4 and verse 1, the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer. And the Philistines pitched in Aphek. And so here is a place. It's a place, though. It's a major defeat here in chapter 4. A terrible, terrible defeat. And later we'll talk about that a little bit more. But it's used as here in a major defeat. But then later on in our text, chapter 7, verses 9 to 12, we see it is used after a great victory. And in fact, verse 12 of chapter 7, it says that they set a stone up as a memorial, and they called the name of it Ebenezer, and the meaning, of course, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. In other words, we see in our text, chapter 7, we see a great victory, and they said, well, we know why there was a great victory. It's because the Lord helped us. And they set up a stone as a marker or a memorial, if you will. And by the way, stones often are used in the Bible as markers or memorials. Joshua, of course, when before they crossed the Jordan River, God instructed him to get 12 stones and set them there in the Jordan River and then to pile them up as a memorial. David had his 5 smooth stones, and they someone said this, said he rocked Goliath to sleep with him. Yeah, okay. David in the Psalms, he refers to God over and over again as a rock. Of course, Peter is named Rock. And of course, we understand that. There are many national memorials. We have the Washington Monument in Washington, D.C., in honor of President George Washington. We have, if you've been to Hawaii, how many of you ever seen the USS Arizona Monument Memorial? All right, several folks have, not very many. We ought to do a church trip there. Amen. And anyway, but that's to commemorate those who died at Pearl Harbor. Of course, the 9/11 memorial in New York City, the bombing or the falling of the World Trade Center, 2,977 people died, and that memorial there. We have a memorial very close to here, actually commemorating the War of 1812, the Admiral Perry Memorial. Does anybody know where that is? Nope, not Perrysburg. Does anybody know? Oh, come on. Put in Bay. Very good. All right, in Ohio. And so we understand, and those are typically made out of stone so that they last. Mount Rushmore is a memorial, all these different monuments or memorials, and all of those are, they're commemorating something or someone that has, done something significant, and there are many, many I could have named. Now, this passage, we have a place called Mizpah, and this is where the covenant was made between Jacob and Laban. You'll know that from the Old Testament story, and so we'll talk about that again in a minute. But there's a great victory here, and in light of the victory, they said we will set up this stone, this monument, if you will, and we will call the name of this Ebenezer. and because of the great, great victory that we've had. By the way, we sing a song, and you probably had no idea where what that means whenever we sing it. And does anybody know the song that has the word Ebenezer in it? Who said it? Several people, Debbie, David, come thou fount, all right? Here I raise mine Ebenezer. How many of you know what we're talking about now? All right, how many of you knew what it meant? Couple. Dave, you knew what it meant?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You thought, you can teach your mom that it's not Ebenezer Scrooge, all right? But but we sing that song, and it is Come Thou Fount, hymn number 169. Don't look it up now. But the Bible tells us what it means. It says, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. A significant time, a significant victory for the Israelites. The Lord helped us. Now again, it's the same place where there was a great defeat. Same place where they were absolutely annihilated at one time, but now this time, there's a great victory. They said, Ebenezer, the Lord hath helped us. You know, several times, the psalmist talks about the Lord's help. My favorite, of course, Psalm 46 and verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Amen? A very present help. That tells me over and over as I think about that verse that right now, today, I mean, I know I can go back and I can see all the times God's helped me. I can go back years and years when I was first saved and how God helped me those times. And then later on as God, we went to Bible college and God had to help us and He helped us financially and He's helped us physically and He's helped us in so many ways and I can go back to those times. But wait a minute, it's not just for those times. It's for today. It's for right now. God can help us. God will help you. God wants to help us. And the people here said, hey, we have gone to a place where we were defeated at one time, and it was a terrible, terrible thing, but God helped us this time. And now we have a great victory. God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. And they set up a stone, and they named it Ebenezer. I want to show you four things about this morning that I think will be a help to you. And I want you to think about it in light of not only the Lord helping us over and over and over again, but I want you to understand, folks, God has helped our country. This country is not great just because we have a lot of great people, though there are a lot of great people, but it's because of God. Berean Baptist Church is not great because of great people, though there are many great people, some of the best Christians that I know of here, but it's because we have a great God. And our God can help us, and you may be a wonderful Christian and done some great things, but you could not do it on your own. You had to have the help of God Almighty. And there's four things I want to show you. Number one is it is a stone of remembrance. You know, we should not forget what happened. We are so prone to forget what happened. I was thinking about this, and again, when you're sick, you don't have a whole lot to do. And I, you know, I've just pretty much done nothing. Somebody, I think Phyllis said, you look like you've lost weight. Truth is, I gained weight because I did nothing. I mean, I'm just laying around and kind of walking around, looking out the window, watching the church with my binoculars. No, I didn't really have binoculars. But I was up and walk around and I was looking at Brenda's box that is a typesetting box. Is that what you call that? It's got little boxes. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You hang them on the wall and you put little doodads in them. All right, Sarah, you're the only one that knows. Debbie knows. Do you have a doodad box too? I knew you would. You know, now I'm not going to call it a dust collector. If you want to think that way, you can. But you can get in trouble with your wife. But anyway, we have these little boxes. They're about that big. Some of them about that big. And you can only get little doodads. And we have little doodads from about everywhere we've gone. We have little thimble things. Does anybody have a thimble collection? Anyone? All right, several people do. Very good. All right, so we have some of those kind of things. We have little things of little jokes people have given to us. And anyway, all of that, what is that? It reminds us of something or somewhere we went or some occasion that took place. And in that little box, there's all kinds of little memories. And so it's like this Ebenezer, this stone of remembrance. It is to cause the people to remember. Well, remember what? Well, first of all, they needed to remember when. They need to remember when God helped them. Notice in verse 6, it says, they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, wait a minute, what'd they say? We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah, and they had to remember that time. They said, we want to remember there was a day we admitted we sinned. There was a day that we recognized we're just a bunch of sinners. Oh, would to God America would get to that place. Amen? Amen. Verse 7, when the Philistines heard the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. Boy, isn't it something? You get right with God and immediately then all of a sudden those old fears come back, don't they? But the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. But they had gotten right with God, and God was going to deliver them. When? Always, just in time. Always. Now, look, they set up a memorial. They said, we don't want to ever forget this. God delivered us just in time. After we got right with God, God took care of everything. After we bowed our heads and we confessed our sin and we got right, God took care of everything. You know, they had two previous slaughters 20 years before. I mean, these were slaughters. And it had to be in their mind. And certainly as the Philistines start to gather their army together, they seem to be just a little bit nervous about this thing. But they had God's help this time. Hey, listen, don't forget, God will deliver you always on time. God's never too late. God has never been too late. God always does everything perfectly. And I guarantee if we took a testimony time right now of God delivering and providing and meeting a need and giving a victory. But listen, they said, we want to set up this stone. We want to call it Ebenezer because the Lord helped. But we don't want to ever forget, he's always on time. And I mean, there may have been a day that their bills were due and they had to walk outside and say, what are we going to do? We can't pay the bills. But they looked up and they saw that stone and they remembered, hey, God's going to take care of that thing. There may have been a time they went to the doctor and the doctor said, you're really sick. You've got some serious problems. They said, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. How am I going to make it? And they had to walk out and look at that pillar and they had to see that stone there. And they said, hey, God took care of us then. He'll take care of us now, no matter what your problem today. He's always on time. He's always on time. He's never too late. Remember when, but they also had to remember what. What is it? Verse 11, it says, the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethkar. And then Samuel took a stone. When? It was just in time, but they had to also remember God did it. And notice what it says in verse 13. So the Philistines were subdued and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel, which would have been another 40 years. And boy, did God ever give a great victory, not just for today, but for tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow and for 40 years. Amen. Whooped the Philistines and made sure they continued to be whooped for 40 years. What a victory. God is so great. God is so good. Wouldn't you like to, you say, 40 years. What if you had a victory today and you knew that you were going to have that victory for 40 more years? Wouldn't that be good? Let's see, I'm 50. What am I? 56, so I'd be 96. Next time I have to worry about the Philistines again. 96. Bring them on! Let's fight, you know? I mean, come on. Good stuff. I'm going to tell you, folks. Look. They said, we want to remember this. our God is a great God, and our God is going to give us a great victory. And all the way to the end of Saul's life, they had this victory. They want to remember. They want to remember. Look, that's what Veterans Day is all about. I understand you, you know, if you read the news or listen to the news too much, you almost think like we're either the bad guys, hello, or you think we're beaten. We've had so many great, great victories. That's why our country's great. Amen. That's why it's still the greatest country in all the world. Veterans Day is a signing of the armistice, or the end of the war, in 1918 after World War I, the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. And that's why we celebrate Veterans Day. Hey, don't forget the veterans. Don't forget those who paid the price. I like the song that says, "Freedom isn't free." Amen. Freedom isn't free. When you cast your ballot, and by the way, you should have cast your ballot. Everybody should cast their ballot. And when you cast your ballot on Tuesday, somebody shed their blood so you could cast that ballot. Over the years, many have shed their blood so that we could vote. How many countries do they not get to vote? We get to vote. You ought to vote. By the way, those who don't vote, they'd be the first ones to gripe and complain when you couldn't vote. Amen. But you see, it's veterans. It's a time we set aside. We said we want to remember these folks. We want to remember those that gave up jobs. They gave up time. Many of them lost their homes. Many of them lost their lives. Some lost an arm, a leg. They lost eyes. They lost hearing. They lost something. They gave up something for us. In those days, you know, they cannot be over. It cannot be over that our country is still the greatest country. It can't be over. And it won't be over as long as we will remember that freedom isn't free. There's a price that had to be paid. And you know, we remember what? Remember what? It's a stone of remembrance. And then not only remembering when and what, but also remembering how. Because here, so clearly in verse 9, Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel. And the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them. And they were smitten before Israel. Don't hear anything about a tank or a nuclear weapon or a stealth bomber or anything like that. Just, my God thundered with a great thunder. They said, we don't want to ever forget that. Can you imagine they're watching this take place? Again, I don't know what all that means. Don't understand. I just know there was a great thunder and everybody is there. But somehow the Philistines, boy, it whooped them. I mean, God thundered with a thunder and a clap of thunder, and they were defeated. They said, we don't ever want to forget. Don't ever want to forget. Don't forget the Revolutionary War. Don't forget, folks. Don't forget World War I, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam. Don't forget. Don't forget how God has raised up this great nation. Don't forget God did it. Don't forget there was a day everybody said, "In God we trust." That wasn't just a national motto. That was, people said it. People talked about it. Let's not forget God did it. Let's not forget all the times God has given us victories. Think about it. How about the day you got saved? You know, I often wonder when Christians come to church with looking grumpy. Amen. Now, I mean, you know, someday, again, Sunday morning, you know, it's morning and we haven't had our coffee like we wanted it. You know, you didn't go to Tim's class and drink a gallon of coffee. And, you know, and you know, maybe we're just having a, but I just, you know, just think about the day you got saved. Don't you remember what that was like? Man, I just, that's why I talk about it a lot. And some people, well, you ever preach about your own testimony of self? Well, I don't know anybody else's testimony as well as I know mine. I know what God did when He saved me. And I'm still excited. Remember that? Hey, shouldn't you maybe have something where you set it up where you can talk about your salvation again? Shouldn't you have something where you talk about those days of victory? How about your wedding day? Now, for some, it's a bad memory. I'll tell you what, I again, when you're sick, you think about all these things. And I've been counseling Joseph and Emma and thinking about their wedding and everything. And nowadays, you know, you video everything and all that. And it's funny because we taped, cassette tape, I believe, our wedding. And I think we listened to it one time. But you know what? We practice it every day. It's just I don't forget. I'm not going to forget. It was one of the greatest days of my life. How about the day your children were born? Wasn't that exciting? Boy, I could get into a good story right now, but it's Sunday morning. It's about you, Dave, but boy, it was exciting. But what a wonderful day. What a wonderful day. How about after that successful surgery? You know, you were so worried, you were so concerned, you just didn't know how everything was going to go. And maybe it was the first time you were put to sleep. Boy, what a helpless feeling that is. You know, you say, I'm not going to go to sleep. I mean, you know, you're just so, you're determined. And then, you know, waking up after surgery to me, it's always like, whoosh, everything just all of a sudden rushes in. And it's like, you know, and you look around, you see people, and you say, well, I know it's not heaven. But anyway, I know there are some of you that would think you went the wrong place because of who you saw. But remember, you had such a great, you were so excited, you know, and God did it. And you begged God, and you prayed, oh, God, help me get through this. How about when you were healed of a sickness? Did you know that everybody here has been healed? We could start our own show. Amen. You're still alive. You've been sick. You got healed. And God did it. And I mean, God uses doctors. God uses medicines and different things like that. But God has made our bodies to heal. And we do heal. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? I've done all kinds of things. I got oil all over my feet and got it all over the house and chewed on lozenge things and ate certain kinds of things that you're supposed to eat when you're sick. What is it? Chicken noodle soup? Bob Evans chicken noodle soup, right? That's the only thing that works. And I didn't get any Bob Evans chicken noodle soup, but I had all kinds of... My healing food is grilled cheese sandwiches. I don't know why, because I don't eat those any other time, but when I'm sick, I got to have grilled and pancakes. That's why I gained weight. But you know what? Every time, I mean, you're so sick, and you can't breathe, and your eyes are watering, and your head hurts, and your stomach, and all that goes with that. And you're sick. And then all of a sudden, you're not. And God healed you. What a wonderful thing that is. How about when you got that job? You begged God for that job, and He gave you that job. How about when you had victory over alcohol? You didn't think you ever would, but you got rid of it. You had victory over smoking. You didn't think you ever would, but God gave you victory. How about when you had victory in your marriage? You didn't know if it would ever work out, but it did because God helped you. How about when your child got saved? God helped. How about when your debts got paid? God helped. How about when your problem was solved? God helped. Don't forget. Don't forget. It's a stone, they said. We don't want to forget. It's a stone of remembrance. Number two, it's a stone of recognition. Don't miss this, please. Whatever you do, don't miss it. Because 20 years before, chapter 4, verse 1, go back there. Chapter 4, verse 1, the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer. The Philistines pitched in Aphek, and the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. When they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. 20 years before our text, these men were slain. 4,000. What a defeat. But that wasn't the end of it. Because the Bible says, then the children of Israel, they said, oh my, we've suffered this defeat. Now what are we going to do? Oh, I know. Ding. Religious Ronald decided we better get the ark. I had another name, but we have somebody here named that, so I didn't say it. So, yeah, we don't have any Ronald. Okay. But anyway, they said, hey, we got to get the ark. You know, hey, listen, the Ark of the Covenant was not a good luck charm. That was not its purpose. Are you listening? And you know what? This building's not a good luck charm either. Oh, I got to go to church. It doesn't bring you anything. It'll bring you the Word of God if they're preaching the Bible. Huh? Getting baptized, it's not a good luck charm. Coming to the altar, it's not a good luck charm. Forget it. Fooey on that stuff. That's idolatry. Huh? They said, we need the Ark of God. And so, verse 3, notice what happened. When the people were coming to the camp, the elders of Israel said, wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before for the Philistines? Let us fetch the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. Might as well have a four-leaf clover, right, Brother Korea? Yeah. Yeah, just get, let me get my rabbit's foot. Didn't help the rabbit. Amen. Huh? We become very religious at times like this, don't we? So the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring from thence the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. Well, we already know about Hophni and Phinehas. They were ungodly, wicked, unseparated heathens in the priesthood. And so there they are with a good luck charm. You think that's going to help? People aren't right with God, and they bring in the good luck charm. People that aren't right with God, and they think coming to church is going to help them. Now, it'll help you get the truth if you come to the altar and get right with God. But just coming to church isn't going to help. Coming on the property isn't going to protect you. Getting into baptistry isn't going to save you. And so they bring in the Ark of the Covenant of God, verse 5. And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout so that the earth rang again. Good luck is on us now. We have the Ark of the Covenant. Yeah. And it was just like a good luck charm. But you know what? When your heart's not right with God, a building can't help you. When your heart's not right with God, baptism can't help you. When your heart's not right with God, the reverends, Hophni and Phinehas, they can't help you. Your favorite Christian television show isn't going to help you. Nothing's going to help you if your heart is not right with God. Certainly bringing an idol into the picture isn't going to help you. Notice verse 10. The Philistines fought and Israel was smitten. And they fled every man into his tent. And there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. We had 4,000 slain originally. They said, we need good luck. I think it offended God. I think folks that are having trouble today and you know you're not right with God, I think you're having trouble today and you say, I just, but I'll come to church. That ought to help. And it would help if you'd listen and you get this right. But I think it offends God when we start to think something is going to help us when all God wants is our heart. That's why I call this a stone of recognition, because the people recognized 30,000 die. Chapter 5, verse 1, the Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. When the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. And again, you know, it didn't do anything for the children of Israel because it represents God. And the people said, we don't care about God. If you're here today and you think God's going to help you, you need to give your heart to God and get right with God and not play games. A stone of recognition. Why? Because they needed to recognize something. Chapter 7, verse 3. Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve Him only. and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Yeah. Yeah. The Lord only. That's the difference. That's the difference between the times. The first time they are defeated, then they bring in the Ark of God. They're defeated even worse. 34,000 have died. And now the third time, back to our text that we just looked at, they win the victory. What's the difference? The difference is depending on God. What's our motto? In God we trust. Based on the scripture, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We need to recognize something, folks. He's the reason we won the Revolutionary War. He's the reason we came out of the Civil War. We won World War I, World War II. He's the reason for victory after victory after victory. It is God who has blessed America. The problem is most have forgotten that. Can you imagine some of the things that they talk about today, leaving God out of the teaching of history? How? I like what I heard in Bible college. History is his story. That's what it's all about. And yet, to not even mention, do you understand? Many generations have never been taught that it's because of God that America's great. They've never been taught. And yet, God's people here in 1 Samuel 7, they raise up a stone, a memorial, and they say, we want to remember and we want to recognize it's God that did this. We tried on our own and 4,000 died. We tried to use religion and 30,000 died. We turned to God as a real God, a personal God, a God that comes into my heart and a God that lives in me and a God that I worship and a God that I obey. And then we won the victory. It's a stone of recognition. Do you understand how many generations have never been taught that God does anything? In fact, that's all put down as, oh, you know, you just have good luck or something. Idolatry. Number one, it's a stone of remembrance. Number two, a stone of recognition. Number three, it's a stone of revelation. I love this. You'll notice verse 12, and please don't miss this because it's so important. Verse 12, Samuel took a stone, he set it between Mizpah and Shin, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Notice, it's between Mizpah and Shin. The word Mizpah simply is the rock that Jacob and Laban made their covenant to, and they named it Mizpah, and it was simply a rock. Shin, it means the tooth. And it was a rock formation that literally jutted up into the air, and it was known as a hard place to miss. And Ebenezer literally came between a rock and a hard place. Do you understand? That is so many times when God reveals himself to us. So many times it's between that rock and that hard place. So many times as the children of Israel, you know, they thought they had that figured out when they went and brought the Ark of the Covenant, but they didn't have the personal relationship with God. You sit here today and say, well, I'm in a Baptist church. I am a member of a Baptist church. I'm a Christian. I got baptized. I've gone through all these. But are you bowing the knee, as Mike and Carrie sang a while ago? Do you bow the knee? Do you yield to God as God? Do you have the Lord as your commander-in-chief? Or do you just kind of try to bring him along to do whatever you bid? Oh, it's a stone of revelation. Because I'm going to tell you, sometimes we don't recognize, it's not revealed to us who God is until we're actually right between that rock and that hard place. You know, he has before, he can do it again. I've been between so many rocks and a hard place. I was sitting trying to kind of think about some of the difficult times, and all I come out saying is praise the Lord, because all those times between a rock and a hard place, God says, I am God. It's not a building. It's not a baptistry. It's not a thing. It's me. It's a personal God. I'm the God that came to you at 2 a.m. I'm the God that comforted you. I'm the God that thundered with a thunder and it destroyed the enemy. God says, and I did it before. I'll do it again. It could be a financial problem. It could be a health problem. It could be a relationship problem. It could be something. But I guarantee one thing. If he has done it before, he can do it again. 9/11, we often go back to it and we refer to it. And I still so clearly remember just after 9/11, just after the towers came down, just after all the devastation with the Pentagon and everything in America, before every ball game, they sang God Bless America. Do you remember? How many of you know what I'm talking about? You watched it and you saw the tears streaming down the cheeks of the people as America sang God. It wasn't a joke. People weren't laughing. People weren't kidding around. People weren't doing their own thing. People sang. They weren't singing God Bless America, mocking. They meant it. And tears were streaming down the cheeks. And for about 6 months, people sang, God bless America. And they meant it. And they wanted God to bless. They were scared because they were between a rock and a hard place. Sad to say, they forgot. Did you forget? You were in tears because you didn't know what was going to happen. You were in tears for fear. You trembled because you didn't know how you'd make it. And then God gave a great victory. And you had tears of joy as you sang, God bless America. God, thank you. Victory in Jesus. But did you forget? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear. When we are between a rock and a hard place. Yeah. America? Is there hope? I'll tell you, I'd hate to think that these veterans that stood up here on the platform, I'd hate to think that they would have to watch what they're watching in our day. Amen? As a veteran Christian, I hate to watch what's going on in Christians and Christianity, where the old King James Bible doesn't matter anymore. What God says doesn't matter anymore. And we've forgotten who it is that brought us where we are. My friend today, please, 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 let the stone Ebenezer be a stone of revelation, reminding you that he which did it before, when you were between a rock and a hard place, he'll do it again. Because I got news for you. There's more trouble coming. Job said this, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Job 5:7, and trouble's coming, and you'll have more trouble. Don't forget, when you were between a rock and a hard place, it was God. It wasn't something. It wasn't your good luck charm. It was God, a personal God that you got you out of trouble. Last thing, number four, it is a stone of restoration. Oh, what a blessing. Verse 14 of 1 Samuel 7, the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel. A stone of restoration. That's what it reminded. Imagine 20 years before, one of the worst scenes in the history of the nation. Ichabod! The glory is departed. And now we see restoration. Boy, we've all had those Ichabod experiences when we knew, where is God? Where's God? What has happened? Where's God? But isn't it wonderful that all you have to do is call? All you have to do is get back to God. He's always, always there. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he'll restore you. I think about the old axe head. You know, they're chopping along and doing the work, and just everything's going great, and the axe head goes off into the water, and they can't get to work anymore. Oh, we can't get our work done. What are we? Just go back where it went in. Go back where you lost it. For some, it's your prayer closet. For some, it's your Bible. For some, it's your church attendance. Where's your walk with God? Where's your answers to prayer? Where's that miraculous life that God has blessed you with before? Oh, that stone. He said, we want to set up a stone here because God's restoring everything new. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You see, that's America's hope. It's America's hope. There isn't any other hope. God is America's hope. Amen. It's a Christian's hope today. It's your hope today. It's Berean Baptist Church's hope. It is that God will do what God has done before. Your life, my life, our church, our country, God's the one that has to do it. I close with this thought, and I love the choir special. It's a blessing. I now that I've been singing in the choir, it's a blessing to be able to listen to the choir. And the song that they sang today sounded like some kind of a medley, but in it was at Calvary and at the cross. And you know, we have no stone to raise up now, but every one of us, we can look to the cross of Calvary. And you see, if you look at the cross of Calvary, that's what the Lord's Supper is all about, is to look at the cross, look at Calvary, look at Jesus who died on that cross. What does it represent? He said, this do, number one, in remembrance. It's for remembrance. Jesus died, and he died a brutal death. Why? He died to pay for our sin. It's a memory, a memorial of recognition that the gift of God, God provided the gift. It's eternal life through Jesus Christ. It's a memorial of revelation. The cross showed me my need. It met my need, but it also shows that I still need him. Hey, you say, well, I got saved, isn't that it? No, you need him. I need thee every hour. Lord, I need thee. And it's a memorial of restoration because when I got saved, it made everything right. And it'll continue to make everything right. Even though I'm often wrong, he can make it right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for Ebenezer. The Lord, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. I hope today you're thinking about something right now. Well, God did this and God did this. And you know what? He'll do it again. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head's bowed. Every eye's closed. Nobody talking, please.